First Sunday where you all and we, the church, have really been able to gather together in person in the U.S. And this morning we have a distinct privilege to be able to hear from a book in the New Testament. We're going to hear from 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church in the city of Corinth. We're going to hear from chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. So that's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 11. If you have a Bible near you, I invite you to follow along. Otherwise, I invite you to listen and to listen well. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And Paul here is giving us some sense of an invitation. At the very end of this book, 1 Corinthians, he is inviting us and reminding us of something that is fundamental to who we are as Christians. But we'll return to that in just a moment. One of the most mundane and kind of benign and in some ways silly things that has been a result of the pandemic and of the quarantine has been that there has been a lack of live sports on TV. Nobody's able to compete in anything. And if you're a huge sports fan like me, that has been at worst somewhat inconvenient. It's not the worst thing in the world, certainly. And sure, it can be fun to rewatch Tiger Woods win the 2019 Masters again, coming back after his career had begun to tank, or to be able to watch my Golden State Warriors beat LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers 3 out of 4 years, but who's counting, in the NBA Finals. But you can only watch these things so many times. And so if you are a sports fan, one of the only sources of new entertainment that we've been able to enjoy has been this 10-part documentary series about the career of Michael Jordan. Now, Michael Jordan was arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. And in this documentary, they highlight the 6 NBA championships that his Chicago Bulls were able to win in the 1990s. Now, they won 3 in the early 90s, and then they won 3 more in the late 90s, but in between, Michael Jordan decided to take a break. The documentary shows that he had become burnt out on basketball. He could not leave his hotel room without being swarmed by hundreds of fans, and so he decided to play baseball. He decided to play baseball, and he played for the Birmingham Barons down in Alabama, a double-A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. And what was most significant to me as I watched that was not that Michael Jordan miraculously was able to actually compete at a high level after he hadn't picked up a baseball bat for 17 years, but that he was able to rediscover the joy and the passion for competition and for sports that had been lost within him during this prolific run with the Chicago Bulls. He's able to reconnect with his teammates. He's able to reconnect with the love of sports. And when he returns to basketball a couple years later, he returns better than ever because during his little break away, he returned to the basics of what drove him to be so great. And I wonder if we here this morning can relate somewhat to this. I know most of us are not 6'6" with a 40-inch vertical leap and hands the size of oven mitts, but I wonder if we can relate with this impulse to return to the basics. Well, folks here in Michigan, in this community in particular, all around the state, are desperate to return to a sense of normalcy. We frustratingly still are forced to be at home, and we're still, many of us, forced to not be allowed to work. And we want more than anything to return to what we knew just a few months ago. And the fatigue from that, the fatigue and the exhaustion from the social distancing that we've all been forced to live into for the safety and public health of our communities has left us maybe asking the question, what am I doing here again? What is my purpose here on this planet? I haven't been able to leave my home very much for the last 3 months. What am I doing here? I haven't been able to go to church in months. I've watched more Netflix. I've consumed more social media in the last several weeks than I would ever dare to want to actually admit to anybody. And it's left me with a deep ache. And it's left me asking, who am I again? What is my truest identity? Because I have all of these media sources trying to tell me who I am, but who am I really? Now, it seems, more than ever, we need to be reminded of our purpose as Christians and of our identity as followers of Jesus. We ourselves, here this morning, need to be able to return to the basics. Now, our scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians. Now, this is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in the city of Corinth, which was in the capital province of Achaia. Now, Paul had founded the church there many years earlier. He was the kind of original church planter in many ways. And over time, Paul had begun hearing reports and hearing rumors that there was a lot of infighting going on in the church in Corinth, that members were suing one another, that Christian conduct was not being upheld. And so he spends the bulk of the beginning of the book of 1 Corinthians somewhat scolding the church in Corinth. It's sort of like a I'm not upset, I'm just disappointed kind of parenting technique type deal. And he says then, in chapter 15 something interesting. After he spent the last 14 chapters telling the church in Corinth all the things that they've done wrong, all the ways to fix it, he changes course when we get to our passage here this morning. He says in the first two verses, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you." He says, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters." He says, "Hey guys, I know it's been tough. I know it's hard. I know it isn't easy to love one another in the same way that Christ loved us. I know that you can lose your way. I get it. But I am here to remind you of the good news." And sometimes that's exactly what we need. Sometimes we need a reminder of the fundamentals of the gospel. The fundamentals of what Christians believe, of what Christians proclaim, because it can be so easy, as we all know here this morning, and as the church in the city of Corinth knew, it can be so easy to lose our way. Paul says, "I'm writing to remind you of your purpose, and I'm writing to remind you of your identity. I am writing to invite you back to the basics." Verses 3 to 11 say this. Let me read them quickly for you again. He says, Paul says, "For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. By the grace of God," Paul says, "I am what I am." Paul is bringing us back to the basics of the Christian faith. He says that Christ died for you. Christ was buried for you. Christ rose for you. And by the grace of God, I am what I am, and you are what you are. Friends, if you believe that Jesus Christ was God in human form, if you believe that He came to earth, that He lived and walked and breathed, that He lived a sinless life, and that He died on the cross in our place, if you believe that after He died, 3 days later, He was raised from the dead, defeating sin and death in the process, if you believe that He is the Lord and Savior of your life, then no matter where you find yourself, right here, right now, this morning, in this sanctuary, no matter the anxiety that you might be holding within your body, no matter the fear that you might have, no matter the doubt that might have begun to creep into your mind of, "God, are you really here with us? Because it's hard to see." No matter what, friends, by the grace of God, you are what you are. And what you are is beloved. What you are is known. What you are is spoken for. And who you are is a child of God, and that means that you belong. By the grace of God, you belong. As we wrap up here this morning, I want to share a story. My wife Claire and I had the wonderful opportunity during the first 6 weeks of the quarantine to host a friend of ours, somebody, a young woman that my wife has been mentoring and working with for many years now. And she didn't have a place to stay. She had been kind of bouncing from couch to couch out in the east side of the state. And so we said, well, if you need a place to stay, you can come stay with us. And it was really remarkable to watch the ways that God was at work in her life. Claire and I saw her grow in maturity, in a sense of self-awareness, and she grew in an understanding that God loves her and that He desires wholeness for her in her life. We have friends who we love to kind of have bonfires with and 6 feet away from each other, of course, and they listened to her. They loved her, they welcomed her, and they prayed for her as well. And when we drove her to the airport, after she had been staying with us for 6 weeks, she was on her way to a long-term, wonderful ministry program down south. She posted something on social media. Now, I'm not on social media, but my wife is, and she sent a screenshot to me. And this is what our friend said. She said, "So grateful for my time living in Holland," which is where my wife and I live. "I met some pretty amazing people. I'm headed on an airplane to a new place, and the most important thing I'm packing in my suitcase is so much love. Holland is such a special place, and I will be holding these memories dear to my heart. Quarantine really gives you time to slow down and meet your neighbors. We shared laughter, tears, food, and prayers together. It's sad to leave, but I'm excited to see where the future takes me. It's so great to know so many great people exist in this world." And she said, hashtag, believe in the good. She said, believe in the good. She knew, our friend knew, that she belonged. Heidelberg Catechism Q&A number 1 says, "What is your only comfort in life and in death?" Answer is, my only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own. I am not my own, but I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, you belong. In the same way that our friend needed a reminder of that simple truth, so Paul issues a reminder, an invitation to us that Christ died for you, that Christ was buried for you, that He rose for you, and by the grace of God, we are who we are. And by the grace of God, we belong, body and soul and life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is so easy to lose sight of our purpose here in the world, to lose sight of our identity, our most fundamental identity that is found in You and in You alone, Lord God Almighty. You have claimed us as Your own. You entered the world to walk with us, to teach us, and You took our place on that cross, Lord Jesus, so that we might be saved from our sins, so that we might know You, so that we might be in communion with You. You died, You were buried, and You rose again. And it is by the grace that You outpour upon us, and not of anything that we have done, for we, as Paul says, are unfit to follow You, but by Your grace and by Your love, we are what we are. And what we are is saved. What we are is children of God. And who we most fundamentally are is that we belong to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.